Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Meadowlands Baptist Church. If you are a guest, we welcome you. Thank you for being a part of this service, our family Christmas worship service as we celebrate the Lord. For the church family, with great sadness, we announce the passing of Tom Day, who's gone on to be with the Lord as of yesterday. Many of us know Tom being dedicated servant to this church and has spent many years here just giving over his gifts in order to support the church. So please consider just to keep Irene and Brian and the family in prayer during this season and throughout the week as they grieve. But it's important to remember that though they grieve, they don't grieve without hope, because Tom confessed and demonstrated a belief in Christ. And because of that, he'll be spending his Christmas time with his Savior. Reflecting upon the lives of Tom, who have gone on to be with the Lord, and for this Christmas season even, there's a reminder for us that we are a part of a greater story of God. And so every story has a beginning. For many of us, we're going to relearn it here today, and maybe even learn it for the first time. And so we're going to go into the birth of our Savior. And we will also be doing this on Christmas Eve, for Christmas Eve service as well, as well as a candlelight evening service. So if you could be there for those two, we'll continue to meditate upon this important time in history. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks for this wonderful season. We thank you for the friends and the family who will be sharing the season with us, all of the joys that this time of year brings with it, all the memories. But even in the face of earthly joys, no joy could ever surpass what you've done for mankind, and all that we're going to learn about shortly. I pray that you would help us to learn this truth through song, reading, and the message, the truths of your mercy and your love for us. We pray that the gospel hope will shine extra bright in days home this season, as you provide for them strength and comfort for their loss. Thank you for the pleasure of knowing Tom, your servant. May you grant us all a faith that desires to turn away from sin and live for you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It is such a blessing to gather together today to celebrate the Christmas season. Every year at Meadowlands, we do a special Christmas worship service where we can enjoy a special time of singing and music to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll hear familiar favorites. We'll hear something new, and we'll even sing a few old classics with a fresh, clear message through new words that will help explain why we celebrate this time of year. So without further ado, let's begin by singing some Christmas carols. Please refer to the screen, as there will be some parts for just the choir, some parts for everyone to sing. The choir will begin this, but let's stand together as the choir starts our service, and then we'll join in together. Hark the herald angels sing.
To
Psalm 98 says, to sing, to shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Once again, please refer to the screen as there will be some parts for just the choir, some parts for just the gentlemen to sing, some parts for just the ladies to sing. So let's continue singing together, Joy to the World. Singing, you may be seated. This year's Christmas worship service is titled Salvation is Born. Later, the choir will present a song by the same name. This single event, the birth and the life of Jesus, is not only recorded in the Bible's New Testament, but also throughout the Old Testament as well, pointing towards the then future birth of the one who would bring salvation to the world. The passages that we are about to read are all written long before the birth of Jesus, even hundreds of years before he was born, and all serve to prove that Jesus is the one who brings salvation. Numbers 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy the sons of tumult. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Then Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So as we continue singing, we can know with great confidence that he truly was the long-expected king, born to reign in those who are his forever. Let's continue singing. Foretold this promise of God. And finally, God humbled himself to take on the form of human flesh, being born in a manger. Please listen prayerfully as the choir will sing these words. Come and behold him, Christ the Messiah has come. Salvation is born. Thank you. Amen. So Jesus is born to bring salvation to the world. But who exactly is he? We've sang and we've heard about his salvation so far, but how do we receive it? These next two songs that we will sing together are familiar tunes, but the words have been changed to answer these questions. Quote a songwriter, "What the lost need the most is the way. What a fool needs the most is the truth. What the dead need the most is the life." It all comes back to Jesus. During his ministry on earth, Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Please stand as we continue singing these next words, these next songs, starting with "The Way in a Manger." The truth and the life, and he did go to the cross to deliver us and bring us salvation. And so we respond by receiving the life that he freely gives. It cannot be earned or bought through our own efforts. It is the gift of heaven. So as we reflect on this gospel story, we continue singing of this holy night.
Thank you.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Well, praise God for the truths that we've read from His Word this morning, for the truths that we've sung today. To close our time worshiping God through music and to prepare our hearts for the message that will be taught, please listen and feel free to follow along the words on the screen as the choir sings the First Noel. Thank you.
Thank you, musicians, for all your hard work in leading us to worship today, and thank you for letting us join in with them as well for many of those songs. What a blessing it is to celebrate our Savior's birth. That's what Christmas is. It's a birthday celebration, which is one of the reasons why, in addition to Jesus himself as the main focus, there is a focus on Mary, who is the mother who gave birth. Now, there are mothers here that probably could share some stories of people who said inappropriate things to them or asked questions to them when they were expecting a child. I've heard you should not ask, "Are you sure you're not having twins?" Or maybe even just asking, you know, do you want a boy or a girl? I don't ask any questions to expecting mothers. If I'm for sure that they're expecting, then I congratulate them. But it's probably better not to say a whole lot, or you could get yourself in trouble. But it might be appropriate to say, "Do you know what you're having? Do you know if you're having a boy or a girl?" Of course, a question like that would not make any sense about 60 years ago, before the invention of the ultrasound, which allows a couple to know ahead of time the gender of the child that they are going to have. But 2,000 years ago, Mary knew. Mary knew she was having a son because a messenger from heaven was sent to tell her. Her son would be a special gift from God, and this would be a supernatural birth, a virgin birth. Now, at that time, Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph, and they have not been married yet. When Joseph found out that his fiance was expecting a baby, he knew he wasn't the father. So he decided that he should probably break up with her and not go through with the wedding. But then an angel appeared to Joseph and told him what to do. And this is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. The words are on the screen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." I'm sure Joseph was shocked by what he heard. And yet, he knew Mary to be a trustworthy woman. The angel's appearance, as well as the message, confirmed to him that this was indeed a unique birth, unlike anything before or since. And so Joseph took Mary to be his wife. And Matthew explains in verse 24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, naming a child is a very important responsibility of the parents. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus. When a couple in our church gives birth, my wife and I, usually sometime in that first few days, goes and visits that couple. And it's always a joyous occasion to get to be with the couple as they bring home that new baby. And one of the questions we ask is, what brought you to choose this name? And so usually maybe there's a story or there's some reason why. I haven't had anyone say no reason at all. If anything, they like the name, the way the name sounds. But often they'll say, oh, there, I have a relative, there's some family member in the past that had this name, and this has been a name in our family for generations. Or maybe there's a historic figure that they respect and say, and so this is where that name came from. Many Christian families name their child from a name in the Bible. And that's a good reminder of maybe a truth or a story or a character that we have in the Bible. Others find a name that they research the meaning of that name, and they like the meaning behind the name that they chose. Well, why did Mary and Joseph name this special son Jesus? It wasn't a family name. In fact, it wasn't even the name they chose. This is what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus has a Hebrew equivalent. It's the name Joshua. And Joshua is a fairly common name of an Israel man, or a Jewish man at that time, because Joshua was a man in the history of Israel who had delivered them following Moses. After they had been delivered from Egypt, he delivers them to the promised land. And so from that time forward, there were many men who were named Joshua. And the name Joshua, or what we know, Jesus, means God saves. And that name would be a reminder to them of the way that God had saved his people in the past. He had delivered them, and the promise that he was going to send a future Savior. But in this case, the name Jesus wasn't just a reminder, it was a prophecy about this specific child. Call him Jesus, the angel said, for he will save his people from their sins. So this child Mary was expecting would be a Savior. And this is one of the themes of many of our Christmas carols. We just sang, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Or, Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing, Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Or, see within a manger lay Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come peasant, king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. So the birth of Jesus is about the coming of a Savior. Christmas is about salvation. We sing joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. But for there to be a Savior, there must be someone in danger. We honor a courageous firefighter who will rescue a child from a burning house. Or we applaud a lifeguard who dives into the water to rescue someone drowning. Or someone may survive a health crisis and thank a paramedic or doctor by saying, "You saved my life." It is obvious from Scripture and many Christmas songs that we celebrate the birth of Jesus as a Savior. But who is in danger and in need of saving? From what do they need to be rescued? Well, the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It is people in sin who need to be rescued. So what is sin? Well, sin has the basic idea of crossing a forbidden boundary. It's like hopping over a fence next to a sign that says, no trespassing. It is doing something you're not supposed to do. Or it is not doing something you're supposed to do, like paying your bills, or filing taxes, or being on time to class. Now, there are all kinds of rules and laws in any society that you live. And different places have different rules, and sometimes the rules change. One street may not allow parking at all. Another block over may have 1 hour parking. Another may allow parking, but you have to pay money to park there. Parking in the wrong place at the wrong time could incur a large fine or even get your car towed away. But sin in the Bible is specifically transgressing God's law. Since God is our creator, he defines for us what is right and wrong. He sets the boundaries for morality. In the Ten Commandments, God says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. These things are wrong, not because of what a legislature or court decided, but because that is what God, our Creator, has said. He also commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you compare yourself with others, you may think you're pretty good. But God is the standard, not your classmates or coworkers. That is why the Bible states in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:23 explains, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the bottom line. We all fall short of what God expects of us. He is holy, we are sinners. He is the lawgiver, we are lawbreakers. So what does that mean for us? Well, the Bible in Romans 6:23 states some bad news for sinners. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you work hard at your job, you get compensation. You are paid wages. It's what you deserve. What is our compensation for sin? What do we deserve for breaking God's law and falling short of his righteous standard? The Bible says death. The wages of sin is death. Now, we often think of death as the end of life. That is certainly true. But that death causes a separation between body and soul. You see, when a person takes their final breath, the body dies, but the soul continues on. The Bible talks about the soul immediately going to heaven or hell after death. Heaven is referred to as eternal life. Hell is eternal death. The death that never ends. An everlasting judgment and suffering. And that is what we deserve for sinning against our Creator. So do you understand the need for a Savior? Do you realize why Christmas is a reason for rejoicing? It is about Jesus coming to save his people from their sins. So how does this baby in a manger rescue us from God's judgment? Well, it's not really about the baby in the manger. That's just the beginning of God's plan of salvation. You see, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He came to earth through a virgin birth. Christmas is about his coming, but he came to earth for a purpose. He came to die. Because of our sin, we deserve death. Jesus, however, never sinned, and yet he willingly gave up his life. He went to the cross to die. And as he hung on the cross, God placed the sins of the world upon his innocent son. And he judged his son as if he had committed all our sins. Just think of all of the ways you have violated God's laws. When you haven't loved him with all your heart. When you neglected to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was punished for every sin you committed. In God's love, he sent his son to die for our sins. Romans 5:8 states that God's demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is why Christians consider the cross as a symbol of hope. The cross was actually an instrument of torture and execution. It's really nothing to rejoice in. But when Jesus died on the cross, he received the wages for our sin. He died in our place. And that is how God saves. Jesus rescued us by coming to earth so he could die for our sins. Romans 6:23 gives bad news. The wages of sin is death. But it goes on to give us good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the body of Jesus was taken off that cross and was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, he arose. Jesus showed himself alive to many of his followers. Jesus conquered death and promised that whoever believes in him will also conquer death and receive life everlasting. We can have eternal life instead of eternal death. Instead of God's judgment, we can receive his loving gift. Good Christian, all rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave, for Jesus Christ was born to save. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. It has become a cultural tradition to exchange gifts at Christmas. It's a little odd since it's Jesus' birthday and we're the ones that get the gifts. But gifts at this time of year should remind us of God's gift to us. The gift of his son to be our Savior. That he came to save his people from their sins. And if you haven't received the gift of God's forgiveness, then you should know that it is offered to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When you receive a gift, you don't take out your wallet and say, "How much do I owe you?" It's a gift. You don't then try to do a bunch of good things in order to make up for the cost that that person spent in giving you your gift. No, you just receive it gratefully. Now, the giver has a cost. The giver paid a price, but it's free to the recipient. And salvation is God's gift to you. Now, it is very costly, the suffering and death of Jesus. But to you, the gift of salvation is free. Just believe in Jesus as your Savior. Trust Him to deliver you from your sin. Turn from trying to save yourself, thinking that you can be good enough to earn God's favor, and turn to Christ, the rescuer, the one who came to earth to save you. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the plan of your salvation, that in love you sent your only Son to come to earth, born in a lowly animal shelter, placed in a manger, but grew to be a man who never sinned and took our sins upon himself on the cross. Father, we deserve eternal torment in hell, but we thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray for anyone here who does not have that confidence that they are your child. I pray that you would open their heart to receive the gift. They would turn from their sin, that they would trust in Jesus as their Savior and follow Him. And I pray for those that have questions, those that are unsure, that you would continue to work in their life, that they would find answers from the Bible, that you would save their soul. Father, we have every reason to come and worship Christ the Lord for all that He has done for us. Thank you for salvation in Christ. Amen.
Well, as we close, we'll sing a hymn that we don't normally sing at Christmas time, but we do serve a holy God who set aside His glory to come in the flesh to save us. We'll sing all four verses of Holy, 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 and then there is a fifth Christmas-themed verse that we'll sing together at the end. Let's stand together as we sing.
Our song shall rise.
celebrate the Savior's birth. So much for joining us this morning. May the Lord bless you this Christmas season.